Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
Parents, don't live in the land of guilt and shame, by Joy Worrell. One of the most common things we hear from parents who contact Harvest USA is the deep sense of isolation they feel when a son or daughter identifies as LGBTQ+. Many parents confide that they don't know who in their church they can trust with this burden. They already feel heartbroken over their child's choices, and on top of that, they carry a heavy load of guilt and shame, an inner voice telling them they must have failed as parents. The idea of facing judgment or interrogation from fellow believers feels unbearable. While guidance for the broader church is a different conversation, I do hope church leaders recognize how often this pain is sitting quietly in their pews. Parents are longing for wise, gracious help. In this space, I want to speak directly to parents, especially regarding the issue that rises repeatedly, the snare of dwelling in the land of guilt and shame. When parents begin to talk with us about guilt and shame, I often remind them that Scripture calls Satan, quote, the accuser of the brethren and the father of lies. Revelation 12:10, John 8:44. He loves to whisper condemnation. He loves to steal hope. Jesus tells us plainly that the enemy comes only to steal and kill and destroy. John 10:10. And one of the easiest ways he does that is by blurring the line between real guilt, which leads to repentance and grace, and false guilt, which leads only to despair. The truth is that every parent has failed. We know parents who confess to significant failures in their parenting and still watch their children walk faithfully with the Lord. And we know parents who were prayerful, intentional, and diligent, yet ache over children who have wandered. Paul tells us in Romans 9:16 that ultimately, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. God's mercy, not our perfect performance, is the ground our families stand on. And His mercies, Scripture reminds us, are new every morning. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. That alone is meant to breathe hope into weary hearts. Many parents carry the crushing belief that they somehow caused their child's struggle or sinful choices. But Scripture never puts that weight on a parent's shoulders. Each of us will give an account for our own actions before God. Romans 14:12. You are responsible for how you raised your child, yes. But you are not responsible for the decisions they now make as adults. If you take the blame for their choices, you will soon assume you can also fix them. Yet the work of changing a heart belongs only to the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26. God's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Isaiah 59:1. Even when the situation feels overwhelming. When the guilt and shame feel suffocating, it helps to remember something simple but profound. Adam and Eve lived in the perfect environment with the perfect father, and still they listened to the voice of Satan and chose the path of sin. That doesn't excuse sin. It just reminds us that even the best parenting cannot erase the reality of human fallenness. And even amid our brokenness, God draws near. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18. You are not walking this path alone. One of the great dangers of dwelling in guilt and shame is that it quietly undermines the very gospel parents long to teach their children. If you fix your gaze only on your failures, you'll lose sight of the countless ways God has been faithful to you in the past. Shame convinces you that you should carry punishment, but the gospel reminds you that Christ already has. Psalm 103:12 declares that God has removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. If God has cast your sins that far away, why hold on to them as though Christ had not already borne them? Parents often ask, but what if I really did fail in certain ways? The answer is not complicated, though it may be humbling. Keep short accounts with God and with your child. If you sinned against your son or daughter, confess it. Ask for forgiveness. And then trust the Lord enough to move forward. Proverbs 28:13 promises mercy to those who confess and forsake their sins. Not punishment, not penance, but mercy. A parent recently told me that they deeply regretted how they responded when their child came out to them as gay. My counsel was simple. Confess, ask forgiveness, and then leave it with the Lord. Don't drag forgiven things back onto your shoulders. Remember Psalm 86:5, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." One of the saddest consequences of living under guilt and shame is that it slowly snuffs out hope. Parents begin to pray with less expectation. They start believing that redemption stories are for other families, not theirs. Yet hope is not rooted in circumstances. It is rooted in God's character. Scripture calls him the God of hope, who fills his children with all joy and peace in believing, so that they may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Abounding in hope is not unrealistic optimism. It is Christianity. Listen to how God speaks to his people. "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm." Exodus 6:6. "Is anything too hard for me?" Jeremiah 32:27. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Isaiah 43:2. Your child's story is not too twisted, too complicated, or too far gone for God to redeem. The Bible is full of stories where God brings wandering people home. He has not changed. So, dear parents, hear this. Living under guilt and shame is not the inheritance God has given you. In Christ, you are justified, adopted, forgiven, sanctified, and destined for glory. Romans 8 says that God is working all things, even this painful thing, for your good. It says nothing can separate you from your Father's love. It says you are more than conquerors. And conquerors do not live under the weight of guilt and shame. They live under the covering of grace. John Bunyan once wrote that the afflicted are always the best sort of Christians. Not because suffering is good in itself, but because God often uses hardship to produce the deepest spiritual growth. You can walk through this season. Yes, even this one, with hope instead of despair, with peace instead of panic, and with confidence instead of condemnation. Rest in God's love. Lay down the guilt and shame He has already carried for you. You were and are not a perfect parent, but God is, and He is still writing this story for you and your child.